How's everyone doing? Had a good weekend? Okay, welcome to our breakout series. So what we've looked at in the past 7 weeks, anxiety, fear, depression, temptation, heartache, greed, anger, and today we're looking at doubt. We'll be tackling the topic of doubt. Before we get into all of that, what I'd like you to do is get up where you're from where you're standing, so just where you are, stand to your feet, please. Now, what we are going to do is this. I'm going to make a series of statements, and then depending on how sure you are or unsure you are of how true the statements are, well, you'll stand somewhere, all right? So if you are completely unsure that the statement is true, stand to my right, so that side. If you are sure that the statement is true, stand to this side. If you're kind of halfway sure, stand in the middle. Or if you like in between halfway and unsure, that's you get the point. Okay? So I'll make 5 statements and just move to whether the side whether you think it's sure or unsure. I am going to get married and live happily ever after. Are you sure or are you unsure? Quite a few people who are sure, quite a few people who are unsure, or in the middle, and then a few of you are. Mostly guys over there are unsure. No, not interested? Okay. I'm going to become a millionaire. I bet they're all going to move now. I'm going to become a millionaire. So all the big spenders on this side, make it rain, that mullah. We see you. All right. Few people who are unsure. People have had encounters with aliens. How do you know? How do you know? Would you like to share with us your experience, Bongi, of your, did you encounter an alien? You are an alien? Okay. No, mostly unsure. Hell is a real place. Micah's undecided over there. Where do you want to be, Micah? Where do you want to be? All right. Okay. And the final one, God is real. Hey, the one person. Right, so mostly sure. Then we have the fish swimming upstream over there. One person unsure. Okay, thanks everybody. Please have a seat. Yeah, so now what I'd like you to do is think of a person you have a really close relationship with. Okay, do you have that person in mind? All right, so now share with the with somebody sitting next to you. What do you appreciate about this person you have a close relationship with? And what are the things you do with this person that you really enjoy? Okay, and then once you've done that, now share if you've ever experienced doubt in your relationship with that person. Okay, so have you ever experienced doubt in your relationship with this person? And if you have, how did you handle that? So share that with the person next to you. Okay, so the next activity we're going to do is an individual activity. So on the piece of page you're about to get, answer these questions. What doubts have you had or do you have about God, the Bible, Christianity? And what makes relating to God difficult? So what are your doubts about God, the Bible, Christianity? And what do you find difficult about a relationship with God? Okay, so now, if you're comfortable, and only if you're comfortable doing this, share with the people at the table some of the things you've written down. All right, sorry to cut in, got to continue. Okay, how many of you felt more comfortable sharing the doubts you had about your friend, that close friendship that you have, or then what you did, you felt uncomfortable sharing the doubts you have about God? Who felt more comfortable sharing the doubts about that close person, that person you have a close friendship with? And just show of hand, was that more comfortable for you than sharing about your doubts about God? Yeah? You're equally comfortable? How many of you feel, or how many of you, let me ask this, how many of you, after you wrote down your answers to the question, immediately just wanted to turn your page over so that nobody wanted to see, so that nobody could see it? Yeah? Yeah? Either you turned it over, or you picked it up, and you kept it over here. Yeah? There's a lot of us, huh? Isn't it interesting that so many of us feel that it's almost not okay to have doubts about God, that somehow it's not allowed, that it's not something we should do. Well, that's one of the things we'll be talking about today. And hopefully by the time we leave here, you'll have a better understanding of doubt, and we'll debunk some of the myths about doubt. Okay, so what is doubt? Anybody just want to shout it out? What is doubt? Uncertainty. Anybody else? Confusion. Somebody here? Nah, I don't know what that means. All right, so I've looked it up. This is what it says in the dictionary. It's to be uncertain about something, to believe that something may not be true or is unlikely, to hesitate to believe, to be undecided or skeptical. So who have you have ever felt any one of these things? Yeah. Basically everybody. Yeah. We all at some point in our lives have felt or feel uncertain. We hesitate to believe. We feel undecided. We feel skeptical. Yeah. So doubt is part and parcel of being a human being. Okay. So just in the same way that we experience doubt, there are people in the Bible who also experienced doubt, and there are many, many stories in the Bible of people who've experienced doubt. And we're going to look at three of them today. So there's Sarah and Abram. So they lived back in Old Testament times, and God made a promise to Abram that he would give him a son, and through that son, God would make Abram a father of many nations. The only problem is that Abram was about 100 years old when God made this promise to him, and his wife Sarah was about 90 years old. So, let's imagine you're either 100 or 90, and God says to you, you're going to have a child. How do you think you'd respond? I think your first thought would probably be, I don't know, God, I'm a bit old here. Yeah, I don't know if my body's strong enough to do what needs to be done to have a baby. So you'll probably doubt that, right? And that's exactly what they did. The Bible says, in fact, they laughed. Okay? Then there's Gideon. Who knows the story of Gideon? So Gideon, he lived also in the Old Testament, and this is after Israel has been established. So part of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah has been fulfilled. And they are about to be attacked by another nation. And God says to Gideon, I'm going to rescue the people by your hand. And I don't think he necessarily doubted that God could do it, but he probably did doubt that God could do it through him, that God could use him to do this. And so he tested God. He put out a woolen fleece and he said, God, if you really are going to use me to deliver the people, I'm going to put this fleece out overnight, and in the morning, let the fleece be dry, but let the ground around it be wet with dew. So he puts it out, and this actually happens. The fleece is dry, and the ground around it is wet. So God has done exactly what he's asked for. And then he says, hang on, God, don't be angry with me. One more test. I'm going to put it out again, but this time around, let the fleece be wet with dew, but let the ground around it be dry. And so he puts it out. He wakes up the next morning, and it's exactly like that. The fleece is wet, and the ground around it is dry. So God has responded to his test, and he believes God. He goes out with his army, and they defeat this other nation. And then there's Thomas. Who's ever heard the phrase doubting Thomas? Well, a few of you. So it comes from one of Jesus' disciples. His name was Thomas. So he was one of the people Jesus selected at the beginning of his ministry to be one of the 12 disciples. And he traveled with Jesus throughout his ministry, which was about 3 years, witnessed Jesus' miracles, got to know Jesus personally. But then Jesus was crucified and buried, and Thomas lost all hope. But then Jesus rose again, and Jesus appeared to some of the disciples, but Thomas wasn't with them. And so when they saw Thomas, they told him, we've seen Jesus, he's alive. But Thomas didn't believe them. And he was someone who had spent all of this time with Jesus, seen all the miracles, but still didn't believe that Jesus had risen. And he said, unless I see him, and unless I can feel where the nails went through in his body and put my finger in his side where he was pierced with a spear, I won't believe. So a week later, Jesus appears to the disciples again, and this time Thomas is with them. And Jesus says to Thomas, put your hands where the nails were. Put your finger into my side. And Thomas says, Lord, it is you. And he believes. Okay. So these are three people in the Bible who we honor as people who had great faith, but we also see that they experienced doubt, you know, in the same way that we experience doubt. So doubt isn't the issue. And whatever the cause of the doubt might be, whether it's maybe you don't believe you're good enough to be loved by God, or maybe you've just experienced so much suffering or tragedy in your life that you doubt God is good, that God cares. No? Whatever the reason for your doubt, for your uncertainty, that's not the issue. The issue is, how do you respond to that? No? And there are basically two choices available. The one is belief and the other is unbelief. So belief is an acceptance that someone or something exists or is true, with or without there being empirical evidence to prove with factual certainty that someone or something exists. All right? So it's believing, even though there's not necessarily all the evidence that you would want for that belief. Then what is unbelief? Unbelief is a refusal to believe, it's a lack of belief, a refusal to believe, or it's a rejection of belief. Okay? So when it comes to relating to God, when it comes to having a relationship with God, belief is called faith. You know? It's basically a question of trust. And trust means having an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, truth, and promises of God. It means to choose to believe that God is sovereign, good, reliable, etc. So again, using the example of that person you have a good relationship with, there's trust in that relationship. You trust that that person cares for you. You trust that that person has got your back. Otherwise, you wouldn't be close friends with this person. Okay? And in the same way with God, trust means, even though we can't see God, trust means believing that God is who God says he is, and that he is good, that he does love us unconditionally, that he does care for us, that he does have a plan and purpose for our lives. Trust means I'm going to believe that. I choose to believe it. And then unbelief, when it comes to relationship with God, means the decision to live as if there is no God, so you don't believe that he exists at all, or to not fully trust God. So you might believe that he exists, but you don't necessarily believe that he is everything that he says he is. You could say, yeah, cool, I believe Jesus did live. He was alive. But I'm not sure that he was really God. Or I do believe that he was God, but I don't really fully believe that he actually loves me or cares for me. So that's unbelief. So ultimately, the choice is ours. Yeah? And the choice we make is determined by whether we believe that God is trustworthy, that he's worthy of our trust. And God gives us the freedom to choose how we respond to him. So the choice is ours, whether we choose faith or whether we choose unbelief. We are allowed to have our doubts. God is extremely tolerant of us having doubts and uncertainties, but God calls us to make a choice. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, reads, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Another way of saying this is, today I give you the choice between faith and unbelief. And God encourages us to choose faith, but ultimately He leaves the decision with us. This is what Jesus said to Thomas after Thomas had seen Jesus in flesh and said, "Lord, it is you." Jesus says to him, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, do you now believe? Do you now trust me? Do you now have faith? Blessed and happy and to be envied are those who have never seen me and have yet believed and adhered to and trusted and relied on me." In the same way that Jesus could very well be saying this to us. You know, blessed are you and happy are you and to be envied are you when you choose to believe even though you cannot see, even though you don't have that factual certainty that you would want to have. So it would be a lot easier to trust God if he was more tangible, if we were able to relate to him the way we relate to each other. And we can see each other, we hear each other, we can smell each other. And sometimes not everyone smells all that good. But we can smell each other, yeah? And we can touch each other. But we can't do this with God, and that makes it difficult to relate to God. God, in his wisdom, has chosen to remain invisible and to relate to us through the Holy Spirit. Remember, God is spirit, and we, made in the image and likeness of God, although we have these physical bodies, who we truly are is that spirit, that soul inside of us. And God has chosen to relate to us from his spirit to our spirit through the Holy Spirit. And this requires faith. Yeah, it's not something we can do as easily as relating to each other. And I think God has chosen to work in this way because God is very committed to us becoming like him. And we become more like him when our spirit connects directly with his spirit. Because God wants to change us into his image, like Jess said in church. God wants us to become holy like he is holy. So this requires faith. It cannot be done without faith. What is faith? Faith is the assurance, it's the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith is perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Why is it important? It is impossible to please God apart from faith, because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. So without faith, without this belief in what we can't physically see, we can't really know God, and we can't really relate to God. So this is why faith is important. This is why God honors faith so much, because God knows how difficult it is for us to believe in what we can't see and to have a relationship with him when we can't interact with him the way we can with each other. And God knows how difficult it is, and that's why God is so pleased and so honored when we choose to do this, despite the difficulty of it. So how does God respond to our faith? God responds to our doubt and questions with patience and with grace, not with wrath. Rather than punish his doubting followers, God honors those who seek after him and choose to trust him in spite of their earnest doubts and questions. So God doesn't punish us for our questions. He doesn't punish us for our doubts. You know, in the Psalms, in the Bible, we read plenty of the Psalms where the writers express great doubt, where they express their frustration, where they wonder aloud to God about just the human experience, about suffering in life, and a lot of other things. Yeah, so God allows it. God welcomes it. God wants us to bring these things to him. And if you look at the three examples we've looked at today, despite their doubts, Sarah and Abraham, Gideon, Thomas, they trusted God, and they chose to be obedient. And this ultimately resulted in a deeper faith and a closer walk with God. Do you know the story of Job in the Bible? A wealthy, prosperous man, and Satan says to God, he only loves you because you've blessed him so much. And God says, that's not actually the case. You're welcome to test that. And so he does, and so all of Job's children are killed. He loses all his wealth and possessions. He's afflicted with disease, He loses everything. So he goes from having had everything to losing everything. And he asks God a lot of questions, and he brings all of his doubts, all of his frustrations to God. And his friends come, but they're very unhelpful. And in the end, God responds to him. But God doesn't respond by answering Job's questions. He asks him more questions. He says to him, "Who are you in relation to me?" So in other words, the point is that we bring our doubts to God. We bring our uncertainties to God. But it doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to give us the answers that we want. I think more likely God is going to remind us of who he is and who we are, that he is the creator and we are the created, and that what he asks us to do is to trust him. How do we escape doubts? So actually, we can't really escape doubt. I don't think we'll ever really get to a point in our lives where we never feel uncertain about things. But what we can do is learn how to relate to God. How do we do that? So grow faith daily. So get to know God by reading the Bible, studying the Bible, applying the principles that are taught in the Bible to our day-to-day lives. It's the primary way we're going to get to know who God is, through the Word of God. And then pray without ceasing. This doesn't mean you need to pray every second of every day, but it does mean that you need to make an effort to communicate with God. The same way you make an effort with your close friends, you'll call them, you'll message them, you'll find out how they're doing. So with God, communicate with God. That's all that prayer is, communicating with God. Yeah. Letting him, he already knows the deepest, darkest secrets of our hearts and minds. All we have to do is share those with him. And then fellowship with other believers. Make sure that you have people in your life who are also on this journey of wanting to know God, wanting to do life with God, and support and encourage them and receive support and encouragement from them in the journey. None of us can do this alone. And it's only in community with other people that we grow, that we get to know God better, and we become more like God. And then trust despite uncertainties. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Lean in, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding." Now, we're not going to know all the answers. They are things that God has chosen to not reveal to us. And we need to, as the created beings, we need to accept that. And in spite of that, we need to make the decision to trust God, to step out in faith, and to trust that God's got this. We rely on God's wisdom rather than our own wisdom. So trust despite uncertainties. And share doubts honestly. And share your doubts with God. Share your doubts about God with God. God's not going to be scared off by it. Share your questions with God. Bring them to him. And also share those doubts with people in your life who you trust. And don't keep it closeted in your heart and mind, but share those. Be honest with your close family, close friends, and help each other in that. Now, 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and watches over you carefully." So God says, bring all of your anxieties, all your burdens, bring them to me. I can handle them. Because if we try to handle them in our own strength, normally they just become too heavy to carry, and they weigh us down. But God says, rather than you carry this, bring it to me. Cast your cares on me, because I care for you. And then know Jesus personally. So the one exception God has made was in the person of Jesus. So God said, "I'm going to confine myself to space and time for a little bit. I'm going to come to earth, and I'm going to show my people, I'm going to show my children what I'm like." And Jesus, the Bible teaches us, is the visible image of the invisible God. God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. So if we want to get a better sense of who God is, get to know who Jesus is. And one of the best ways to do that is by reading the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible. Those are the stories that record Jesus' ministry, his life, And that through that, we can get to know him better. We can get to know what he was like, what was his personality, you know, what were the things that made him upset, what were the things that made him really happy. So get to know Jesus personally, both through reading those four books specifically, but also in just having a relationship with Jesus. Yeah. Because of Jesus, we have access to relationship with God. Yeah. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that we can't know the Father apart from knowing him. So get to know him personally and intimately. And then worship God passionately. So there's a big difference between having a relationship with the people we can see, with our family and friends and other people in our lives, and having a relationship with God. Now, there are principles that apply to both, but ultimately, God is far bigger. You know? And our relationship with God is similar to the relationship between a flea and us. You know? There's a big difference. So we are like the flea when it comes to relating with God. God is profound. God is big. God is the created one. He's the creator, and we are the created ones. And so naturally, there are going to be things that we don't fully understand. And the proper response to such a relationship, it's not friendship, although that's part of it, but it's worship. Yeah? And in Romans 12:1, we read, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg you in full view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Yeah? The proper response to an awesome, sovereign God is worship. And Archbishop William Temple wrote this about worship. Worship is the submission of all of my nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by his holiness, nourishment of mind by his truth, purifying of imagination by his beauty, opening of the heart to his love, and submission of will to his purpose. All this gathered up in adoration is the greatest expression of which we are capable. And what he was basically saying here is, commit your whole life to God. Give everything to him. All your talents, all your gifts, those things you enjoy doing, whether it's painting or writing or playing sports, all of those things, bring it to God. You know? Do it unto God. Because ultimately that's what God asks of us, that we bring all we are and everything that's part of us, everything that makes us who we are, that unique individual. God says, bring it all to me, commit it to me, and live your day-to-day life, being who you are, do it for me. Yeah? That's what God asked us to do. And it's a process. I mean, the people you have close relationships with, those relationships were built over time. You didn't just meet somebody for the first time and suddenly you were best friends. Yeah. You took a risk. You shared. That person responded by sharing back. You spent time together. You did things together. And that built up your relationship to the point where you are now close friends with that person. And that's what God asked us to do. God asked us to take a risk, to trust him, to spend time with him, to get to know him, to build a relationship with him. And that's a day-to-day thing. It's a day-to-day decision. Waking up every day and saying, God, I choose to trust. I might not be able to see you. I might not be able to experience you the way I experience other people, but I choose to trust that you exist and that you are who you say you are. And as we do that, God responds. Yeah? God reveals himself more and more to us. As we surrender more and more of ourselves to God, he gives us more and more of his spirit, and we become more and more like him. So that's what God is asking us to do. So just in summary, those points again. How do we learn to relate to God? Grow faith daily. Trust despite uncertainties. Share doubts honestly. Know Jesus personally. And worship God passionately. So before we pray, I think let's take about a minute or two, and just where you are, just reflect on what it is you wrote down earlier on those pieces of paper, and then just ask God to speak to your heart, and just wait to hear from him. You might not hear an audible voice, it might just be a thought in your spirit, in your heart, but allow God to speak to you regarding the doubts that you have. Okay, so before we pray, I would just like to give the opportunity to anyone who would like to share, or maybe what God has spoken to you, or something you've taken from today. So if you would like to share, the opportunity is yours.
Yeah, so this morning, actually, something great happened. I was on YouTube and just looking for videos because I didn't have anything to do, and I somehow stumbled upon this sermon happening in the States, lately, you know, school's been getting to me. I'm like, God, I don't want to do this, you know, I hate this and that, and I don't like this, and, you know, it's just, the guy started preaching, and, you know, he said, the church, one thing the church hates is, you know, they don't want to do is get involved in politics. You know, there's an empty space in the States where the church can just go and do things there, you know, but they don't want to do that. And then the guy said, you shouldn't run away from your problems, but instead, you know, run towards them, you know, because that's what God is there for, you know, so that, you know, you don't get charred when you go in there. And I feel like for me, that removed a whole lot of doubt, because I know that when I do go in there, it's not going to be me all depressed or hating my life, you know, because God doesn't say, I'm going to give you problems and you're going to hate them. He says, I'm going to give you problems, but, you know, I'm going to make it easy for you to go through that, you know. In fact, like, lately I've gotten hooked on Candy Crush, and I think that's I can compare life to Candy Crush. You know, it's challenging, you know, but it's fun. Like, you love doing that, and when you actually succeed, it's amazing for you. So I feel like, yeah, basically life could be like Candy Crush, you know. It's fun, yet challenging. So, yeah.
So if you forget everything else that was said today, remember life could be like Candy Crush. That's the big takeaway from today. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you that you've made it possible for us to be in relationship with you, God. Thank you, God, that you came in the form of Jesus Christ, and because of that, you identify with what our experiences are, God. You know exactly what it is we go through on a day-to-day. In whatever season of life we might be in, God, you know exactly what that's like. And thank you, God, that you can relate to our doubts and our uncertainties, and you don't punish us for them, God. Instead, you ask us to trust you. You ask us to believe that you are who you say you are, to believe that you are sovereign, that you are good, and that you love us unconditionally. Father God, I ask that where there is doubt, where there is uncertainty in our hearts and in our minds, that you would give us grace to believe, God. Help us to stand on the truth of your word. Help us, Lord God, to believe, Lord God, even where there is some unbelief. Help us to choose to believe. And I pray, God, that you would grow our faith. Thank you, God, that faith is a gift from you. And I ask that you'd give us more faith, that you'd grow our faith, God, and that as we relate to you and as we seek you in our lives, God, that you would increase, that you would show yourself, Lord. Help us to get to know you better. Help us, Lord God, to not be afraid of our doubts, not be ashamed of our doubts, but to bring them to you. And as we do, God, thank you that we know without doubt that you respond with love and with care and not with punishment. So thank you, God, for your love. And I ask that you'll be with us this week. Be with us in the challenges that we face, in the struggles that we have. Help us to approach those head on, knowing that you're with us, that you're for us, that you go before us. May you receive all glory in our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, thanks, everyone. Have a great day and a good week. Next week, the final session of our breakout series. We'll be tackling religion, and Pastor Mark will be speaking to us next week. So have a great day.